This morning, I want us to talk just a little bit and share for a few minutes and stir ourselves up again, once again, because we know that prayer changes things, it changes atmospheres, it releases the presence and power of God to change. I remember when I was in Bible school and sometimes in some of the seminars that were held there, there was different flags around the world. And this was before Russia was even open. How many remember when Russia came open? Amen. It was without a fight. Most people didn't believe it could happen without bloodshed. But how many know all things are possible with God? And we just lift our hands and sometimes just for, you know, a few minutes command and pray in the Holy Ghost and believe God for that iron curtain to come down, and it has come down. Now one day it may go back up. We'll keep that in prayer and see God's time and so forth. But right now, the gospel's going forth mightily in Russia. Amen. All over the different, I could say Russia, the Soviet Union, many different countries in there now. But it has changed. The environment's changed. The ability to preach the gospel has changed. And I know, you know, if anybody knows Brother Rick Renner, I mean, he is like the Billy Graham of the Soviet Union. They know him. He was on TV and still is to many people. 52 million a day, every day. And people are coming to Jesus. And they are establishing many churches and have a great work in that area. And I know Pastor Dave himself went several times. And they preach the gospel in the stadiums. Everybody, many people, yes, we want to be saved. We want to come to Jesus. Hallelujah. And they're doing a great service to the Lord there. And things are changing. But it takes prayer. Amen. Because prayer changes things and it also changes us. And it prepares us for the next step that God has in our life. And sometimes when God exalts us or God moves us in the spiritual realm, it doesn't look like anything happened in the natural, but you move to another place, a place of authority, a place of understanding where we embrace the change that God wants to produce in us. Because when He begins to change us, when He begins to cause us to die to that flesh and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Yes, Lord, I'm available. Yes, Lord, I surrender to you in this area of prayer, any area of our life, which is holding us back. And maybe it's not sin, but it may be a weight that we want to, the Lord is asking us to surrender to Him. Maybe it's a little bit more time. Maybe it's more of our heart. Amen. We're not trying to be exalted for any one thing of our own. Amen. James chapter 5. We are the house of prayer. I declare it. I say it. Yes, we have plenty of prayer times and we'll be praying especially this week. I know we've been praying for Sister Brenda. She's coming in Jesus' name. She's going to be healed. We're going to keep praying. We're not giving up. Amen. How many know? You know, I happen to know that our brother here, they're building a upper room prayer place. Hallelujah. It would make sense to me that the enemy might want to attack. Amen. Amen. Because how many know when he attacks your family, it affects you? Amen. Not always us personally, but it affects our family. You know, when our family gets attacked, that affects us. Maybe you're not the one that's feeling the pain, but you hurt because that's your loved one. That's your partner in faith. That's your partner in the Lord or brother or sister, whatever. The enemy comes, but God helps us to endure and to raise the what? We raise up the standard against the enemy and we win and we prevail. James chapter 5, 16 through 18. James 5, 16 through 18 says this, therefore confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. The Amplified says, dynamic in its working. Amen. The dynamic power of God's released. Goes on, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. How many know Elijah had emotions just like you and I? Remember when he went into the cave there and was under the juniper tree, and he's all depressed because the great Jezebel queen was wanting to kill him. You know, and he's even telling the Lord, I'll die. Oh, just kill me, Lord. Well, if you wanted to die, Elijah, why didn't you just stay where you were? Why did you run and hide? He didn't really want to die, and God knew it. God knew his heart. And he was hidden out for a little while. Anybody ever hear, maybe you fear has gripped your heart and you kind of hid out for a little bit, or sometimes we're like Adam and Eve and we kind of sow our fig leaves and think we're hiding from God, like he doesn't know really where we are. But how many know he knows right where you are? Amen. He says, even with emotions like that, Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. Amen. Just because you have a temporary moment, or you have a time when you miss God, or something terrible happened in your life, it does not disqualify you from walking with God or entering into a place of prayer of authority. Because authority belongs to you, not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is in you. And he lives with you. And he takes you from where you are into a place of victory. And your authority begins to be made known in the heavens and in the earth. And the devil begins to tremble. Yeah, he tries to trouble you too. But he begins to tremble because of who you are. You're a son and a daughter of the living God, a child of the King. Oh, so filled with him. You're the house a prayer that God has made. Matthew 21:13. Matthew chapter 21 verse 13 says, and he said unto them, Jesus is talking, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house for prayer, of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The scriptures are fulfilled with exhortations and commands for us to pray, to be the house of prayer. Now these I have written down here. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hallelujah. How many know when we seek God, we're going to find him? When we turn our heart to the Lord, there are many times when the children of Israel were in bondage and they begin to cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says God remembered his covenant with them. Amen. How many know we got a covenant through Jesus Christ? Really, it's the completion of the covenant. Hallelujah. The promise, he lives in us. We've got the real promise in us. Amen. How many know if there's a shadow, a type and shadow of something to come, there has to be something real to cast the shadow. And Jesus is the real thing. I know they said it's Coke, but it's really Jesus. He's the real thing. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's going around the world. He's in us. And when we seek him, glory to God, when we seek him with all our heart, we find him. He will listen to us, and things can be changed in the earth. How many know he listened? Remember, we were just talking about the children of Israel, so God sent what? Moses. How many know? Many times Moses made the intercession to God for the children of Israel. Amen. They weren't always perfect. They didn't do everything just right. But God, you've got to remember, you promised. God, you have promised. When we stand upon his promises, because we've sought him, with all of our heart. Amen. We find him. Psalm 10 verse 17 says, "You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry." Isaiah 30:19 says, "The Lord will hear your crying and he will comfort you. When he hears you, he will help you." Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." And even Psalm 91:15 says, "God himself, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him." God will deliver us in trouble. He will cause us to know him. Prayer will change some things. Hallelujah. If we need, the need of the hour is powerful, persistent, passionate, prevailing prayer. Amen. Powerful, persistent, passionate, and prevailing prayer. And we will prevail because we are those that are the righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. Just like Elijah prayed, we're going to pray until we get the answer. How many know he prayed 7 times? I believe it is, right? Finally, he said to the servant, "Go out and see if it's raining yet." Go see if it's raining. He continued in prayer. It didn't look like anything's happening. How many know sometimes it doesn't look like anything's happening in your life? It doesn't seem like prayer is changing a thing. But if we look, finally the servant came. "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand." It didn't look like much. It didn't look like much was happening at all. But he said, "Get ready, for the storm's about to hit." Elijah knew God. When we seek him, we know him. When we talk to him, things begin to change because we have authority in this earth. You do. Your prayers can change things. Your words can decree a thing and cause it to be established. You have power with God. And the need is far greater than most of God's people are realizing. When we look around the church world, how many are really in earnest prayer? How many of us take time to earnestly seek the Lord? How many churches do you know that are really seeking God? I mean, we are seeking God. But is there more? Is there more God has for us? Is there a place in him that we're going to go? Because we're going to see this nation change. Not just this city. We will see this city. That's number one. We've been guaranteed. St. Thomas, he said, "If you'll ask me, I'll give it to you." Hallelujah. How many know St. Thomas, Elgin County belongs to God? We are believing God. We are trusting God for that outpouring, for the fullness, to see lives change right here, right now. Today, in 2021, not yesteryear, not back in Acts, right now. And we've seen things happen, and we're seeing things take place. Hallelujah. Glory to God, our sister just stepped out, but hallelujah, she didn't have to have surgery, praise God. She got a miracle. We all know, Bridget, right here, Terry's wife, she just stepped out for a minute, but she'll be back. Hallelujah. But she got a miracle. No fishing here. Doctors wanted to take her appendix out. Looks like this is wrong and that's wrong, but how many know? We're going to keep believing God with her that she is healed. Hallelujah. They sent her home without surgery. Glory to God. But we know that the great desire, it's far greater than most of God's people are realizing the need for us to seek the Lord. The moral fiber of the nation, I said earlier, it is declining. It is crumbling right before our eyes. We see people giving in to all kinds of sin all around us. It's not as far, I don't believe, as it was in the day of Noah, where everybody, the Bible says, you know, their thoughts are be evil continually. We haven't quite got that far, but we see the beginnings of it and have seen it for many, many years now. But how many know there's still a sleeping giant and we are beginning to rise. We are beginning to wake up and become the house of prayer. Hallelujah. Real love and compassion have become almost non-existent. How many know that? Hallelujah. Even in the church world, we're finding it difficult. Hallelujah. We can make a big church here. All we need is a fog machine, you know, and bring in the right people. Amen. The right ones that are so popular. You know, we can make some calls and raise some money and bring in the right people, fill the church up. But what do we have? We're not a bless me club. We are a club that's filled with the power, persistent, prevailing prayer that God answers. And we see the real thing. We're not here to play a game, to play patty cake with the devil. We're here to be standards of righteousness and holiness before the true and the living God. And we shall shine as a light to this community and to regions round about. And people will become running because they're going to need Jesus in these days. I'm telling you, folks. Things may be changing and all people are saying peace, peace, but beware when peace is declared to you. Begin to cry out to the true and the living God because the greatest commodity on the face of the earth is the anointing of God and knowing Him. And you're going to know Him because you've been seeking Him and we're going to hear from Him and one word from heaven can change everything. They're going to be looking for you. Because they've already looked for love and security in all the wrong places. And I guarantee you, in the end, it's going to all be disappointing. And people are going to need real love and compassion. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to have that. How many know confusion and upheaval are sweeping across the country like a tidal wave? We know that there's a bunch of upheaval right now. There's a bunch of confusion. We've got a lot of people in positions of authority. They really don't know. They're all practicing. They're guessing. They don't really know. But we know in whom we believe. We are persuaded that He is able. We have a sure foundation. And His name is Jesus. And He is the rock of our salvation. And we will not be moved. He's not rolling around somewhere, but it's firmly puts us in a place where our feet are planted. Hallelujah. We have a foundation that will not be moved. Though the waves come, though they may come in the form of all sorts of things. Amen. And the world looks like it's growing waxing worse and worse and upheaval all around. We're not going to be swept away in the tidal wave, but we're going to be strong and we're going to have the tidal wave of the glory of God coming into the earth, and we're going to be a part of it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The so-called religious community shows some alarming signs of spiritual ambiguity, not sure of what they believe. Research from the Barna Research Foundation says a minority of born-again adults, 44%, and even smaller portions of born-again teenagers are certain of the existence of absolute moral truth, as I said earlier. We are losing that foundation. Many are not adhering to, and we need to understand, which we said many times here. Right here, this Word of God is our foundation. It is settled in heaven. It will come to pass. It can be trusted. We can act upon the Word of God in prayer. And in other ways, if we'll take the Word of God for what it says, God will perform His Word. He watches over His Word to perform it. And when we have that foundation, the living Word of God, it not only lives here on these written pages, but we've got the Word of God right here in our heart. The Bible says He writes His law upon the tablet of our heart. We already know what's right and wrong. And this right here confirms it, gives us other things than our flesh. When it tries to rise up, here's the answer. Amen. We've got the old covenant. We've got the new. Hallelujah. Where Jesus came. And if we get in trouble, we've got a whole book of epistles, different churches that letters are written to. How? To crucify that flesh and not let it dominate you, but to spend time with our Father and be raised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If ever Christians needed to learn to prevail in prayer, it's right now. Right now, we're going to prevail. We're not going to fail. We cannot fail because of who we believe. And it will not stop us. Hallelujah. It's said that it has been said. Many people have heard that 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Sometimes you hear someone say, we've done all we can. The only thing we can do now is pray. Prayer really should be our first resort rather than our last resort. Amen. How many have ever heard that? Oh, well, all we can do is pray now. No, the most powerful thing you can do in the world is to take your voice and speak it unto the living God with the truth of the Word of God in your mouth and pray and declare that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God forevermore. When prayer prevails, Satan loses. Amen. When prayer falls, Satan prevails. The demons of hell begin to rejoice when the child of God is prayerless. Satan knows well that prayerless Christians are powerless Christians. Christians are embroiled in one of the most heated and holy battles of all time, the battle against the rulers of darkness of this world. We see that, of course, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we're wrestling against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness in heavenly places. We think it's so-and-so. When we look in the natural, it looks like it's this leader or that leader or this authority or that authority. It's the devil himself. It's Satan who has come as an angel of light to try to deceive and to stop what God has said. And we have authority over him. Hallelujah. We are to prevail. We must fight the good fight of faith. We must pray the souls of lost men and women literally hang in the balance. While lost souls totter on the brink of destruction, Christians are largely unconcerned and prayerless in many places. But we are changing that. We are seeing a difference with that. For at least as long as I've been here, I've only been here about 21 months now. But every week we pray. Every week we've got some kind of prayer going on right here. We're not going to stop. We're not slowing down. We're actually going to be picking it up. Hallelujah. We're lifting it up. We're becoming that house of prayer where prayer is something that we breathe on a daily basis. Not just when we gather to pray, but in our own lives. Amen. As we are in our home, when we seek the Lord, he begins to prepare us for the next place he wants us to be. And it comes through a time of prayer and the Word of God and knowing him. And we are prepared, because he says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, hallelujah, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There's a change, a divine exchange that takes place in that place of prayer. And we are transformed to the very image of Jesus, and we begin to seek him. We begin to know his heart. We begin to understand God's desire for the lost that are teetering on the brink of destruction, and our concern becomes one with our Father. Our heart, our compassion, it's not a worry, it's not a fear, but it's an understanding and a knowing that God wants things to change. It's a groaning on the inside of us. Yes, you say, well, I don't feel like I'm groaning. Well, do you want change in the earth? Do you want to see souls saved? Do you want to see things different in the body of Christ? then yes, I say you're groaning on the inside. See, the Bible says the earth is even groaning for redemption, and we see that now all around us. Things are changing. Seems like greater degrees of destruction of the weather patterns, and we should watch those. I remember probably, 20 years ago now at least, maybe even a little longer than that, I know one great man of God, and he would say, watch the weather patterns. Watch the weather patterns. And we see that changing, and we see the enemy coming and trying to destroy some things, because the earth is groaning for one thing, and that is redemption. Amen. There's great power and great deliverance through prayer. All things become possible. Moses prayed, and God spared Israel from judgment. We know that Joshua prayed, and God used the sun to stand still. Samson prayed, and God gave him back his strength. Hannah prayed, and God gave her a baby boy, the prophet Samuel. Solomon prayed, and God gave him wisdom. Elijah prayed, and God sent fire down from heaven. Elijah prayed again, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. When he prayed the second time, it began to rain. Elijah prayed, and God gave life back to the dead child. Jonah prayed, and God brought him out of the belly of the whale. The thief on the cross prayed, and God gave him eternal life. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises in the prison. And what happened? The prison was shaken, and the jailer was born again in his family. How many know prayer can begin to change things? It's about time that we pray, amen? Things were not as wonderful as we think during the first church. It was not so great. It didn't look so good. When we look into the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, we see some of the dilemmas that the early church faced. Just this verse, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. How many have seen some of the church harassed lately? Here it gets pretty serious. Verse 2 says, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days, this was during the days of unleavened bread, but he kills James, and he takes Peter, and he is placed in the prison. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Now, 4 squads, that means 24-hour watch, see? 6 times 4, each for 6 hours. So he's got guards 24 hours around the clock. They each take a 6-hour shift just to make sure they don't fall asleep, you know? So they're all awake. They're watching him. Amen. So the church, you know, on that very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and guards in front of the door are watching over that prison. So here we have the church positioned among people who were hard-hearted, hard-headed. They either killed or stoned the preachers. In fact, they had even killed Jesus. So, and now the disciples were supposed to go there and start a church, and it was kind of a hard field to work in. They were under some great persecution, as we can see. Here's Herod. He's hard-headed. He's hard-hearted. They don't care what's going on. Things weren't looking so wonderful. We already know that the treasurer of the church, Judas, who'd been stealing money, he finally committed suicide. The most prominent leader of the church, Simon, he had already denied the faith once, but now, hallelujah, thank God for the Holy Ghost, amen, being born again and being changed, he had preached to the and won the 5,000. There was a lot of different things going on during this time of so much persecution here from Herod. But how many know what happened in this? That prayer began to be made for Peter. Amen. Continual prayer. Peter is there and he's asleep. Verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door are keeping the prison. Verse 7 says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Hallelujah. Now the church, of course, had been praying. They're praying for him. Verse 5, yes, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. Amen. How many know sometimes we got to just stay with it? How many know what that means? That means we press. We pray until something takes place, and something did happen. The prison began to be opened. The angel appeared to Peter. His bands fall off, and there he is, a freed man. How many know prayer can set not just you free, but others free? Amen. Prayer changes some things. If ever we need a time for prayer, it's right now, because prayer is going to make a difference. Prayer can change that atmosphere. Prayer can cause things to happen in the midst when it doesn't look so good. It looked like Peter was going to be offered up. Looks like he's going to be killed just like James. But continual prayer is made. Hallelujah. Is offered to God for him by the church. And how many know? He came, when he got out, he knew where to go. You know why he knew where to go? Because they'd been there many times. It was where they had the upper room that Jesus had talked about. There was a woman there that she'd lost her husband. She left him with quite a bit of wealth. So this is a pretty big room. This is a really nice house there. They'd already had the upper room there. The Holy Ghost had come to them there. They had many meetings with Jesus at this house. So Peter knew right where to go. Hallelujah. Because he says, you know, many times when they came into the city, that's where they went. And so they went to that house, and this woman had offered it to them many times. So they were familiar with the area, so Peter knew where to go. He goes knocking on the door, and a little girl named Rhoda says, Peter's at the door. How could that be? Maybe it's just his spirit man, we would say. Maybe he's not here. He's just here in the spirit. You saw his spirit or something. Because we know where Peter is. No. Peter's at the door, really. You know, and he's knocking again. He has to knock a little louder so somebody hears. Finally, they open the door and he comes in and they're all excited. God has answered our prayer. Hallelujah. How many know when we press in prayer, answers come? We got this lady here, as I said earlier, Bridget. She's standing here. We continue to pray and we're not going to stop. We got Brenda we're praying for. We believe God's going to perform a miracle for her. Amen. We're not letting her die young. We're not letting her die in pain or live in pain. Hallelujah. She'll be cured. She'll be healed. We're not going to stop praying. Hallelujah. And Saturday, you have a wonderful opportunity to come and pray. Amen. From 12 to 6. So they were praying and they had insurmountable problems. Hallelujah. A man named Herod was terrorizing the Christian community, and he had already done three different things. Number one, he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. How many know we've seen that recently? A man trying to mess with our brothers and sisters. Not all the church, just some of the church. Those who are trying to be about a good work. He began by afflicting them, imprisoning them, fining them, spoiling their houses and goods, and other ways tormenting them. And it was all because they belonged to Jesus Christ. I need to tell somebody here today, if folks are persecuting you, it's probably because the devil's mad at you for trying to be about a good work, and he wants to discourage you. I mean, you know, he's pretty good at what he does. He tries to discourage you. But don't you quit. You keep praying. Count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations and trials, knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. But patience, what's patience going to do? Let patience is going to have her perfect work, that we may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Hallelujah. We're not going to quit. We're not going to draw back. You see, sometimes even in prayer, we've got to get through hell's worst to receive all of heaven's best. The second thing that King Herod had done, he's vexing the church, he's bringing trouble. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Off with his head. That's what he said. And James' life was one of the first of the Christian disciples. He was one of those who witnessed Jesus' transfiguration. He was one of those whom Christ called the sons of thunder. Let me encourage anybody who's being vexed by the devil in the church. Your vexing may be evidence that you have a powerful anointing on your life, and Satan wants to try to stop you and take you out. If he can't take you out, he at least wants to try to neutralize you and keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Thirdly, Herod looked up. He locks up Peter, the one who became the head of the church ultimately. The one who would go on to preach one sermon that resulted in 3,000 souls being saved. The enemy always likes to attack the head. The devil knows that if he can kill the head, the body often will fall as well. But when Peter was in prison, while he was there, the church prayed. When the leaders got in trouble, the church called a prayer meeting, not a business meeting, to dismiss the leadership, but a prayer meeting to pray for the leaders. Hallelujah. Now, I'd love to hear of the churches, instead of crying out and trying to stop things in the natural, to call the prayer meeting. Amen. Hallelujah. Not trying to get rid of the pastor, but to try to pray and believe God. How many know that even a pastor needs prayer? Thank you for your prayers very much. Hallelujah. We need every one of us to pray. You know, every pastor needs prayer. Our church needs prayer. We have to stand. Despite the outward attacks and the internal tensions that could take place sometimes, we are not. It's not the time to quit. It's not the time to run and hide. It's not the time to disband the church. And it sure is no time to get rid of those that are in authority or try to fix things by setting committees and trying to figure it out in the natural, but it is time to pray. Hallelujah. The night before Peter was put on trial, he's asleep, he's bound by those chains. The soldier was guarding him on each side. The two other soldiers are guarding him in the jail cell. It doesn't look good. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. When Elijah prayed, the rain didn't immediately fall, but he did not quit. We did not stop. The church continued steadfastly in prayer for Peter, and his chains finally fell off, and he was a free man. How many know there are things that come, there are attacks that come against us. It's going to take the church to come together in unity, to bind the enemy, to produce the power of prayer, to set some people free. It's not that you've done necessarily anything wrong. It may be that you've done many things right. And the work what you're doing is a good work. And the enemy wants to neutralize you and stop you and chain you up and keep you from performing what God has called you to do. It may seem simple to you, but you know every call is important by God. If you're called to be an encourager, that's important to the body of Christ. We need it right now. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know there is a gift that comes on people? You know, maybe a motivational gift, but it's to empower you to help encourage the body of Christ. Maybe your call is in hospitality. You open your door and you let people come in, have a bite to eat and share Jesus with them. Hallelujah. We need you. We need your cakes and your cookies and your wonderful roast beef and chicken soup. Hallelujah. Whatever it is God's got from you. Whatever your gift may be. Hallelujah. Maybe you're an evangelist. You say, well, where is he? What do you mean an evangelist? I work. There's no better place if you're the only Christian on that job. What greater joy than have the opportunity to live a life and to declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You got people all around you coming to us every single day. We all have that opportunity and that call upon our life that when we pray, our heart begins to cry for souls. Amen. Glory to God. Prayer begins to change us. Praise the Lord. There's a difference when the church is earnestly praying to God. There's a difference in the atmosphere. There's changes in people's lives and there's changes in us ourselves. And we can push back and we can stand strong and we can see the hand of God move as we diligently, persistently, on purpose, amen, pray, release the power of God in the earth and see change, not only in our own lives, but the lives of those around us, amen. Let's stand for a minute. Hallelujah. Once again, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you, of praying to the true and the living God, the God of all the universe, because of who you are, Father. We know that all things are possible because you're the one that has purchased us, because you're the true and the living God. We know that power is available to us in prayer. When we call upon you, when we seek you, when we ask of you, you answer yes and amen. Lord, we give our hearts once again to say, Lord, we will be persistent. Lord, we will be consistent. We will be faithful. We will not quit, Father, and we will prevail because we have the word of God on it. You said if the righteous pray, Lord, our prayers would be effective. They would be dynamic in their working. They will prevail over all the work of the enemy, and nothing shall harm us. So, Father, once again today, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of seeking you, Lord. Hallelujah.